Well, this is indeed an exciting day as we prepare to ordain Joy Fasig for the role of pastoral ministry. I'll say a bit more later about what ordination means when we get to that part. But the word pastor means shepherd, one who leads or cares for a flock of sheep. Now, I don't know if you like being called a sheep, but the Bible does refer to a congregation as a flock of sheep, and the pastors as the shepherds. Many important people in the Bible were shepherds, starting with the second generation, Abel, and then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and King David, all shepherds. And leaders of the nation of Israel were compared to shepherds. And some of the Old Testament prophets took them to task for taking the wool of the lambs and not caring for the sheep, not protecting them and not tending to the injured. And God was angry about this and says, okay, if you're not going to do your job, I'm going to step in and shepherd my people myself. Well, how does God propose to do that? Well, we find out in the New Testament, where God came to this earth in the person of Jesus, and he announced, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. I search for the lost. I heal the wounded. I even lay down my life for my sheep. And we're told that Jesus had compassion on the crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then Jesus passed on this responsibility of shepherding to the leaders of his followers, the church. And I'd like to look at a scripture today at the end of the Gospel of John, John 21, where Jesus gave this responsibility to Peter. And John 21 tells the story of an appearance by Jesus to his disciples several weeks after his resurrection. Now, without Jesus around every day for the disciples to follow, they weren't sure what to do. And so Peter announced that he was going fishing, which was his previous occupation. And others said, we're going with you. And so they went fishing at night because that's when the fish are closer to the surface and fishing is better. Well, they fished all night and caught nothing. And as morning dawned, Jesus was on the shore, but they didn't recognize him. And he called out to them, you didn't catch any fish, did you? And they yelled back, no. And Jesus said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you'll catch them. And they probably looked at each other and said, who is that crazy person? You know, if there's no fish on the left side of the boat, there's no fish on the right side either. But they did it anyway, and suddenly their net was so full of fish they couldn't pull it into the boat. And then John said to Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter jumped into the water and headed for shore. And the others brought the boat in, dragging the net full of fish behind them. They found on the shore that Jesus had a little fire going with some fish roasting on it and some bread baking. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've caught. And they had breakfast there on the beach. And let me read now the conversation that Jesus had with Peter, which came next as they sat around this little charcoal fire and were eating. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." And so sitting around that little charcoal fire there on the beach, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. And three times Peter said, yes. And many people see a connection between this occasion and the night when Jesus was on trial and Peter was warming himself around a charcoal fire and three times denied he ever knew Jesus. And so in an uncondemning way, Jesus gives Peter three opportunities to reaffirm his love. And when Peter does, Jesus says, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." Jesus is entrusting Peter with the care of his followers, his sheep. And Jesus gives Peter the role of a pastor, the role of a shepherd. And what are the qualifications? What seems to be Jesus' greatest concerns regarding Peter? Well, three times he asks him, "Do you love me?" And twice Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." It's in verse 19 and then verse 22, where it's the final thing Jesus says to Peter. He says, "You must follow me." And so for those of us called by Jesus to shepherd his people, the qualifications seem fairly simple. Love me and follow me. Love me, follow me. But in a sense, they're really not simple and easy things to do. Now, Joy didn't want this sermon this morning to be, and the service to be just about her. And fortunately, this calling by Jesus to love him and to follow him is not just for pastors. It's Jesus' call to each of us. Now, we do expect that pastors have evidence in their lives that they do indeed love Jesus and follow him and can help the rest of us on that journey as well. And so as I focus now a little more on what it means to love Jesus and to follow him, it's a message for all of us, not just pastors. So sorry, you're not off the hook today. The first two times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" The word in Greek is agape. Now, agape is a wholehearted love. It's willing to even suffer and sacrifice on behalf of the one who's loved. And that's the love that Jesus showed us. And he's asking for that love in return. There was another occasion when Jesus was asked the question, "What is the greatest commandment?" In other words, what does God want from us more than anything else? And you know what Jesus' answer was? He quoted from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." In other words, love God with your whole being, with everything you've got. That's a lot for God to ask, isn't it? He's asking for everything, not just Sunday, not just a tenth, not just a prayer here and there. No, if Jesus in Deuteronomy had left out the word all, it would be a lot easier. In other words, if it would read, "Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength," well, I can do that. But all? I'm not even sure how close I come to all. Is my love for God 80% of what it could be? Or is it only 30%? I don't know how to measure it because I'm not sure what all looks like. Now, I think it might be like studying certain subjects, let's just say psychology or chemistry, whatever. The more you study and learn, the more you discover there is to know. Maybe you've heard the saying, "The more you know, the more you know you don't know." And maybe that's the way it is with our love for God. The more we love God, the more we realize there's room to grow. Now, some would say the point is to make us realize that we can never measure up to God's expectations and we need to totally depend on the grace of God. And that is a good point. We do need to depend on God's grace because we can never fully meet God's expectations on our own. But I think we let ourselves off the hook too easily if we don't think that we even need to try. I think God really does expect us to love him more and more, with the goal of loving him with all we've got, heart, soul, mind, and strength. God sure asks a lot. He wants all of you and me. And just when I'm tempted to think that God's being a bit too demanding, I'm reminded of this. God already loves me with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, and all his strength. And God doesn't ask any more of me than God has already done for me. God loves you and me with all his heart. That's why he came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, looking for you and me. And people were drawn to Jesus by that tremendous love, by the compassion, by the acceptance they felt from him. He demonstrated that love by healing people, forgiving them, welcoming them, and teaching them the truth. He demonstrated that love by willingly going to a cruel, humiliating death on a cross. And Jesus says, I love you so much, I laid down my life for you. There's no greater love than that. And when you love someone, you want to be close to them. You want to be with them. And that's why God came to live among us in the person of Jesus. And God wants to be so close to us today that he sent his Spirit to live inside of us. Could God get any closer than that? And so God says, I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And my greatest desire is that you would love me back with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And that's what Jesus was asking of Peter. And God knows that love cannot be forced or demanded, and so God waits for us to respond. God waits with open arms, with a welcoming smile, with words of grace and forgiveness. In the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus gives us a picture of our Heavenly Father eagerly welcoming us, forgiving us, and restoring us to become the persons we were meant to be, and celebrating our homecoming. That's a God I want to love more and more. That's a God I want to be with now and throughout eternity. That's a God I want to serve, worship, and honor with my life. Well, we believe that Jesus is part of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who together love us with that wholehearted love and ask us to love in return with all we've got. And so Jesus isn't asking more of you and me in terms of love than he has already given to us himself. And so just as Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He also asked each of us, do you love me? Now, before I move on to the follow me part, I just want to list quickly a few ways that we can actually show our love to Jesus. I once heard a criticism of sermons that they're often too much ought to and not enough how to. And that's always been a challenge to me. So here is some how to love Jesus. First, you can't love without first being love and receiving love. So freely receive the love that Jesus offers you. John says we love because he first loved us. And so we need to receive love before we can give it. Freely receive the love, the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness that God offers you in Jesus Christ. And then I think the I don't know if you're familiar with the five love languages by Gary Chapman. Those love languages are usually applied to marriages and parenting. But I think they also can be helpful to think about ways that we can love Jesus. The five love languages are quality time together, words of praise and affirmation, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Quality time together with Jesus can be prayer, it can be worship, Bible reading, just being aware of Jesus during our everyday life. Words of praise and affirmation, well, we did that as part of our worship this morning through songs can also be part of our prayers, words of praise. Gifts and acts of service. Next two, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 25, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So whether it's a gift placed in the offering, whether it's gifts to other ministries, whether it's gifts directly to persons in need, these are all gifts to Jesus. And the same goes for acts of service. Whenever we offer a helping hand, we do it for Jesus. And then the last one, physical touch. Obviously, Jesus isn't here to give a big hug. But as Jesus said, when you do it for the least of his brothers and sisters, you do it for him. So you can hug Jesus by hugging your brother or sister. And maybe some of you did that this morning as we greeted each other. So think about how you can love Jesus throughout this week using some of those five love languages. After questioning Peter about his love, then twice Jesus said to Peter, follow me. And Jesus says the same to each of us, follow me. In America, many Christians think it's enough to be a believer in Jesus. They believe the right things about Jesus. He's the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he's coming back again someday. And I hope you believe all that. I do. But Jesus asks us to do more than just believe. He asks us to follow him, to be his disciples. In the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus first called Peter, he was fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and this is what Mark says to Jesus to Peter, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And so Peter left his nets and followed him. And a similar thing happens in the next chapter of Mark, chapter 2, where Jesus called Levi, otherwise known as Matthew, the tax collector. It says, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. So when Jesus called Peter and the other disciples, they literally followed along with Jesus wherever he went. But you know, we can't do that today, but Jesus still calls us to follow his example and his teaching. And in the story we looked at today from the Gospel of John, in Jesus' encounter with Peter, he said to Peter two times, follow me. But Jesus wasn't going to be around anymore to be followed after physically. And it's obvious that Jesus meant for Peter to follow his example and his way of living. As the church grew and spread, other followers of Jesus were sometimes called followers of the way, referring to the way of Jesus. They also came to be called Christians. And the word Christian originally meant a model or a miniature example of Christ. So followers of Jesus were referred to as little Christs or models of Christ, which is what the word Christian meant. Unfortunately, today, it does not always mean that. But it's what Jesus intended that his disciple John says in 1 John 2, verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And Jesus himself said, love one another as I have loved you. He intends for us to follow his example of love. Now, sometimes following Jesus can come with a heavy cost. Jesus referred to it as taking up our cross and following him. And some followers of Jesus have paid with their lives. And many others have given their lives as a living sacrifice, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans. Well, here's the how-to part. That was the ought-to. We ought to follow Jesus. Here is some ways to actually do that here and now in 2017. Follow Jesus by living a life of love. Love others like Jesus did. Notice people. Accept them. Welcome them. Forgive them freely. See potential in them. Follow Jesus by seeking to know, honor, and love our Father in heaven, and seek first his kingdom. That's what Jesus did. Follow Jesus by serving others. That's where we give ourselves for the benefit of others. Today our focus is on pastoral leadership. Leadership is a kind of serving when it's done for the benefit of others. Follow Jesus by absorbing violence and suffering rather than inflicting it on others, trusting that God will make things right. Follow Jesus by showing love even to enemies. And follow Jesus by showing compassion to the hungry, the sick, the hurting, and the outcast. And follow Jesus by sharing God's grace and truth with others and inviting them to join in following him. Following Jesus is not a solitary thing. As a church, we join together with others who are on the same journey in life, loving Jesus and following him. You could describe it as living our faith. For me, it's the most meaningful way to live. I hope you've found that to be true for yourself as well. If not, come join us on the journey. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Jesus, we want to pause and thank you for your tremendous love for us. I know I don't fully grasp how great and deep your love is, that you would come to this earth, that you would live among us, that you would die for us in our place, and that you sent your Spirit to dwell in us. Thank you for your love, the many ways that you show it, by the way you care for us. Thank you, too, that you also call us to be your followers, knowing that your way of living is the way that brings life, that brings true fulfillment and joy. So thank you for calling us to be your followers. And thank you too for persons that we can call out to be leaders among us, to help us in that journey of loving you and following you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.